Hey folks, what kind of physical exercise do you do and why do you do it? Are you one of those people that gets out there and does some jogging? Are you one of those folks that goes to the gym? What is it that you do as far as physical exercise? And then I want you to think about, why is it that you do it? Is it because you're trying to keep up your health? Is it because the doctor says these are some things that you need to do? Or is it because you enjoy it? Now I ask that simply to ask this question. Does physical exercise come natural to you, or is it something that you have to discipline yourself to do? I know with a lot of folks, they have those opportunities and they really enjoy getting out and doing some exercise, but some other folks, those that are a lot like me, it's one of those situations where I really have to push myself to do that. Listen, I want you to think about that. We're going to be back in just a moment. We're going to look at training yourself for godliness out of the book of 1 Timothy chapter 4. Grab your Bible and come on back. We'll see you in just a minute. Hey folks, welcome to the Wednesday evening Bible study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. Just a few minutes ago, I asked you that question about what kind of physical exercise do you do and why? And then I asked that question, is physical exercise something that comes natural for you, or is it something that you have to really discipline yourself to do? Now, I don't know how you answered that question. Many people that may be viewing this may have answered that in a different way. Like I said, some folks really enjoy the opportunity to get out there and exercise. If they miss it, then they feel like there's something lacking in their day. But even for those people, at the very beginning when they started to do this, this was something that they had the purpose to do. And you'll probably hear me use that word quite a bit this evening, purpose to do. You know, and so the question is, when we're talking about godliness, there's going to be a parallel that's going to come along in the Bible study this evening that deals with training yourself for godliness. Now, we train ourselves whether athletically or whether to stay in shape or whatever it may be, but both of those things take discipline. If you have your Bible, we're going to be looking at passages that come out of the book of 1 Timothy chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. So if you have your Bible, go ahead and turn on over there with us. If not, just hang in there with me as we read these passages. 1 Timothy chapter 4, beginning with verse 1, it says, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from food which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Verse 6, if you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the works of faith and of the good doctrine which you have carefully followed. But reject profane and old wives' fables, and exercise yourself toward godliness. For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come." Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, as we come to you this evening, we pray that you will just tend to our needs. Father, help us as we gather in your presence to be able to hear what the Spirit has to say to us today. Lord, help us as we purpose to draw close to you. Lord, help draw us into the point where we're listening and feeding our new spiritual nature so much more than that old sinful nature that still exists within our lives. Lord, I pray that you will just give us ear to hear what the Spirit has to say. Lord, I pray for myself this evening, that you would use me as your messenger for these moments, that you would truly be high and lifted up. And Lord, may we go away from this Bible study changed, different than the way we were before. So, Father, right now, we just pray that you'll be with us during this time. Teach us. Give us strength, give us grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, as we look at these particular passages, we see this instance of Paul who is teaching young Timothy. Paul had taken young Timothy under his wing and was discipling him and teaching him the ways of godliness, teaching him the things that he should be doing. So in our text for today, Paul is exhorting Timothy to train himself for godliness. Now, you know, what does that mean? How do we do that? You know, we're going to talk about those things in just a few minutes, but he's saying this is something that you need to purpose to do. Now, as born-again believers, you and I have always heard from the preacher or from somebody that's a godly witness in our lives that we should surround ourselves with godly things. We're to be in the Word of God. We're to be studying His Word that we might know what He wants from us, what He expects from us, and that His Word may guide us as well. So we're to be in the Word of God. We're to go to Him in prayer. The Bible tells us we are to pray without ceasing. This is something that each and every one of us need to do. These are ways that we can train ourselves toward godliness. And Paul is exhorting Timothy to do those things. Now, many would say, well, why is that? Well, here's a couple of reasons why. First of all, in that first verse, Paul tells us what the Holy Spirit says is going to happen in the latter times. Pay careful attention to that phrase, latter times. In verse 1, we read, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons." Now, one of the things that we must understand is this is not talking about somebody who is going to lose their salvation. Many of us have probably been around somebody who we saw them come to a saving knowledge of our Savior Jesus Christ. They were very involved in serving Him, and their life was really, really reflecting Him. But then through time and then through circumstances, there was this falling away that they had. In other words, you look at them, and some people might even look and say, well, I wonder if they really had a genuine conversion experience. Folks, let me make you the promise, because the Word of God tells us this, that if you truly trusted Christ with your life, if you are truly born again, this is not something that you can lose. You will never lose your salvation if you've had a genuine salvation experience. However, there are times when we can fall away from Him. We can break fellowship with the Father. I mean, many of us have come across times like that in our lives when we have sat back and we've said, you know what, there was a time in my life when spiritually I was doing a whole lot better than I am right now. You maybe have fallen away. You know, I've often said to folks that will come to me and they'll say, you know, preacher, my life is just not going right. It's falling apart right now, and I don't understand why. Yeah, the first question I always ask is this. I always say, well, let me ask you this. How is your Bible study and your prayer life going? 99 times out of 100, what I hear is, well, you know, I haven't been doing really good in that area. You know, my prayer life's not what it should be. I haven't really been spending the time in the Word of God that I need to spend in there. And what's happened is we haven't purposed to get to know God better. We haven't been on a quest or a mission to surround ourselves with everything that God is, to learn from Him and to allow Him to guide us in our lives. Now, remember when I started this evening's Bible study, I said, you're going to hear me use that word purpose to do something a lot throughout this message. Well, you and I need to purpose to come close to the Father. And we do that by getting into His Word. We do that by prayer. We do that through our Bible studies. We do that through being with godly people and godly examples. Because Paul is teaching Timothy, and he's teaching us as well, that there's going to come a time where there's going to be this falling away. Notice what it says. It says, verse 1, chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter time," hold that thought for just a second, "some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons." So, first of all, when we're thinking about the latter day, what is that? You know, what is going to happen in the latter day? What are the latter days? I've said that our country and the world, for that matter, has never been more poised to see the time when the trumpet will sound and the Lord will call the dead in Christ up to be with Him, and the rest of us who are saved to meet him together in the air. And time, as you and I know it, will no longer exist. That's that time that we look forward to that's called the rapture. Now, the latter times mean the times heading into that. You know, people have talked about the fact that there is a great falling away concerning spiritual things. And that is backed up by the Word of God right here, where it says that in the latter day, there's going to be those who will depart from the faith, you know, giving heed to deceiving spirits. Now, what are deceiving spirits? You know, I've said that there's spiritual battle that is going on in your life and in my life, in the life of your church, in the life of your co-workers. Everywhere you go, everything that you do today, there is there's spiritual warfare and spiritual battles that are taking place. You know, Satan and his henchmen do not want you to be, first of all, a believer. Second of all, if you are a believer, he doesn't want you to do anything that's going to be a good example of what Christ should be. He's going to try to trip you up every way, shape, form, or fashion. With everything that you do and everything that you say, those deceitful spirits are there to try to trip you up, to make you fall. You know, you think about the teaching of the doctrines of these demons. Essentially, what that means is anything that is counterintuitive or counterproductive to God or His Word. Now, you know, think about it for a moment. There are times when we get so close to just snapping and going off or saying things that we shouldn't say or doing things that are not pleasing, you know, to the Lord. And Satan and his little henchmen are doing everything they can to try to make you slip, trip, or fall in some way along the way. There's this falling away. There's also the falling away of when we haven't walked so closely with the Father like we used to. You remember I said a moment ago, there's some folks that say, my spiritual life isn't what it used to be. Yeah, and then when we start to trace why, we find out that it's because we're not walking with God as we should as believers. We're not spending that time with Him in His Word. We're not spending that time with Him in prayer as we ought to. And what happens is when those things take place, we become susceptible to the deceitful spirits. Which nature are we feeding more? Are we feeding that old sinful nature, or are we feeding the new spiritual nature that is that godly nature? Which one are you feeding in your life? Now, as we consider that, and as the Holy Spirit's working in your life, even through this particular Bible study tonight, can you think of some examples today where you know that you're not walking with the Lord in the manner that you should? Can you think of some things that that maybe the Holy Spirit has pointed out in your life right now that are not pleasing to God, and ways that you're putting a wedge or a separation of fellowship between you and the Father? If you do, and the Holy Spirit's pointed those out, He's pointed them out for a reason. They're things that we need to deal with in our own lives. Now, we talked about that thing called the latter time. The question I have for you right now is, do you believe that we are living in the latter times? If you say, yes, we do, why is it that you would say that? Why is it that you would think that? Me, personally, I believe that we are living in those latter times. I mentioned a moment ago that we have never been more poised to see the Lord call us out to be with Him than we are in today's generation. You know, all the prophecies of the Bible have been fulfilled regarding the time when He can call us out. You know, everything, the stage is set, the curtain is ready to go up. The Lord also tells us that we're only here for a little while. He said our life is but a vapor that appeareth for only a short while and then vanisheth away. Are we ready? Are we prepared? I believe with all my heart that we are living in these latter times just prior for Him coming back. I've often asked the question, you know, if the Lord were to call us out right now and you had to stand in His presence, what do you think you would hear Him say to you? Do you think you would hear Him say, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over few things. I'll make you ruler over many. Or do you think He would look at you and say, depart from me, I never knew you? Do you think He would be disappointed in the way that you're living your life right now? Folks, I know this. I'm going to spend a whole lot more time in eternity than I am here on earth. And yet, for some odd reason, we strive for all the temporal things. You know, we strive for the bigger bank accounts. We strive for the nicer cars. Now, by the way, the Lord doesn't say that rich men are going to go to hell. What he says is that those who keep things in proper perspective and in proper order, he will bless. And those are things that we can use for his honor and for his glory while we continue our life's journey here on earth. I believe with all my heart that we truly are living in the latter times. I believe that we're seeing those that this verse 1 describes that have departed from the faith, that are giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. I think about that and I see people who are flying under the banner of Jesus Christ that are saying that things that the Word expressly says don't do or that you shouldn't do, and they say it's okay. Folks, let me tell you something. If what you think, see, feel, or believe does not coincide with what the Word of God tells you, then let me make you a promise. It is wrong. There are so many social things that are going on in our society today. Look at what the Word of God says. Sift it through His Word to see what is right. I will make you another promise. If the Lord's Word is not for it, then it is not of God. Too many people will say, well, the Lord told me this, and this is the way the Lord's led me. One of the things that we better be cautious of is that the Word also tells us that Satan himself can transform himself into an angel of light. People are being deceived all the time, but you cannot be deceived if you know what the Scriptures have to say. That is why it is so important for you and I to purpose to be spiritually fit through His Word, through conversation with Him in prayer. You know, it is vital for our survival. It is vital for us to be instruments in the hands of God. Yeah, in the latter times, Paul says that false teachers are going to come who are insincere liars and whose conscience are seared. Verse 2 says that their conscience are seared. Think about what that means to have a seared conscience. You know, we've been doing things our way so long, we don't even listen to what the Word of God says. You know, He's given us up to a reprobate heart or a reprobate mind. You know, our conscience is seared. We actually believe that things that are against the Word of God are right. Now, how does that happen? Because we don't truly believe and stand on what the Word of God says. We have got to be disciplined when it comes down to being in His Word, and when it comes down to knowing Him, and when it comes down to listening to the leadership and guidance of the Holy Spirit within our lives. you think about it. How does one become, you know, with a seared conscience, and why is it so damaging? Part of the reason why is because when a person gets to that particular point in their life, they really believe that they are right about what they're saying. The problem is they're not backing it up with what the Word of God has to say. It is so easy for people to fall into that trap, and it is one of the biggest traps that Satan uses in the hearts and in the lives of those who are God's people, God's people who are spiritually immature. I've said many, many times that there's a difference between 1 year experience as a Christian and 40 years experience one time over. There are a lot of people that I know that will say, well, I've been a Christian for 40 years. Well, the problem is their maturity has never gotten past that of a one-year-old. You know, there's a huge difference between that. Folks, we have got to purpose to be spiritually mature by getting into God's Word, by praying with Him. You know, Paul says that he goes on, he's saying in verses 3 through 5 that He created all food to be received with thanksgiving. Now, when we consider this was one of the big things that was kind of argued between the days of being under the law and being under grace, and that there were certain things that a person should not eat. But go with me to verse 3. Verse 3 says that they were forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving. Folks, God has supplied us with an ample bounty. You know, we get to that point where we sit down, and I think sometimes we do things habitually. We do them out of habit. Now, that can be good in one manner, and it can be bad in another. Most of us who are believers will sit down and maybe we're getting ready to have a meal at home, or whether we're out at a restaurant. And what we'll do is we will return thanks, or we will say the blessing, or we will say grace. But there's also been those times that when we've done that, we've been halfway through our meal and we've looked at maybe your spouse or one of your children. You say, did we say the blessing? You know, you have forgotten about it. I think that when we do that, we're on autopilot. It doesn't really mean that we're truly thankful for what we have. It's just something that we do because we do it out of habit. Now, let me tell you what makes a difference. What makes a difference is when you're very hungry and there's no way for you to be able to provide a meal that has been placed before you. And let me tell you, when you're hungry, food smells better. Food looks better and food tastes better. But when you're in that situation, when you're in that predicament, and you sit down and there is a meal placed before you, you bow your head, and when you thank God from the bottom of your heart. You thank God for that food with all sincerity, and it means something to you. I think that what's happening in our society today is that some people are needing to be a little bit hungry so that they will understand what God has provided for them. You know, I think that we've had so much for so long that we've taken it for granted that sometimes God takes it away from us so that we will understand how we should have been thankful for it before. And sometimes by His grace and providence, He will return it to us. So, you know, it's important for us to give thanks at each meal, but it is important for us to do so with the proper heart, the true thanks for the meal that God has provided for us. You know, this can help us to maintain an attitude of gratitude toward God, because all good things come from the Father. You know, I said, as I came here today, I said, you know, I woke up this morning, there was heat in the house. I had an opportunity to get out of the bed on my own 2 feet that actually moved and operated. I had a chance to open my eyes, and I had a chance to see the sunrise out there. There are so many things that too often we take for granted that we should be thankful for on a daily basis. And when we do, what happens is we maintain an attitude of gratitude toward God. Now think about that, particularly as we're heading into the Thanksgiving season. You know, Thanksgiving is not something that we should just observe once a year when we get together with family and friends and have a meal. Thanksgiving is something that you and I should do on a daily basis. God has given us another day. And because God has given us another day, that means He still has plans and He still has a purpose for each and every one of us. And we should be about the Father's business. Part of the reason that we have such trouble with this, and part of the reason that we fall away, is because what we're doing is we're out there for ourselves. We're out there trying to do things for us, and we forget to be thankful for all the bounty that God has placed before us. Okay? So, you know, Paul also goes on to say that a good servant or good minister of Jesus Christ, look what he says about a good minister, verse 6. He says, if you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of good doctrine, which you have carefully followed. He's saying that, you know what, for us to be able to be good teachers of this, we also need to be good observers of that. And he says that when we teach these things to the brethren, then we will be considered good ministers or good servants of Jesus Christ. How are you doing when you consider your service today? Do you consider yourself a good servant of Christ? If you answered that question by saying, well, yeah, I think I'm a good servant of Christ, why did you say that? What is it that leads you to believe that you are a good servant of Christ? All right, if you answered that question and said, well, I could probably be doing a whole lot better, or I'm a lousy servant, why is it that you said that? You know, what is it that the Holy Spirit has brought across your heart or your mind that says, hey, you need to continue to do good in this area as a servant, or you need to completely change course, do a 180-degree turn, and become a servant of Christ to the people? You see, the Lord still calls men to be His servants. He still calls us to be His hands and His feet and His voice and His eyesight to those that are around us. Are we doing that? Are we faithfully doing that? Or are we so caught up in selfish causes that we're not purposing to walk with the Lord in the way that we should? You know, if you answered that question and you found some deficiencies in your service, let me ask you this. What is it that you think would help you to become a better servant of Christ? You see, Christ has given us skills. He's given us talents. He's given us abilities. And He gave those to us that we might use them for His honor. for His glory. Not that we could just become better and more wealthy in and of ourselves. Our lives as born-again believers should be sold out to Christ, that we are His messengers, that we are the ones that carry Christ to those that are in our sphere of influence. And by the way, Christ has placed you where you are. He's placed you in that job. He's placed you in that neighborhood. He's placed you in that circle of friends. He's placed you in that school. He has placed you where you are because the people in your influence need to hear the message that the Lord has given you in a way that as you serving Him, you will be a witness for Him. Each and every one of us. Folks, that's what's the most important thing on this planet is knowing Him. After knowing Him, it's about becoming a disciple. Now, we've talked about the fact that disciple has two different meanings. And we do a really good job at part of the meaning. Yet, disciple, people would say, is defined as a follower of Christ. And the Lord tells us we're to go out and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Well, that indicates evangelism, that we're supposed to share the plan of salvation with them. That's great. But discipleship goes further. If you're going to be a follower of Christ, you need to learn what it means to be a follower of Christ. You don't all of a sudden, when you trust Christ, become this wonderful disciple who knows everything. I mean, we can learn a thousand things every day out of God's Word, and then we could do that for a lifetime, and there would still be an endless amount of things that we could learn from Him and from His Word. So, you know, when we consider those type things, you know, and we think about it, what is it that we are doing to be those hands and feet of Christ, to serve those in our sphere of influence, or are we too busy looking out for ourselves and looking out for number one? If you see that, what are things that the Holy Spirit is putting on your heart right now that can help you to become a better servant for our Lord and Savior? You know, we said before, as we do our Bible studies, yeah, I've asked you to look for some commands to obey in God's Word. And Paul gives us one of those commands to obey in verse 7. Verse 7, he says this, "But reject profane old wives' fables and exercise yourself toward godliness." Now remember, when we think about exercise, we've been making this parallel between physical exercise and spiritual exercise. Most of us understand what it means to physically exercise. Some of you out there may be joggers or runners. Some of you out there may be those that go to the weight room, and you know what that's like. When you first started to do these things, maybe you're a runner and you got out there and you couldn't even get a quarter of a mile, and you were huffing and puffing and blowing and panting, and you were going, "Man, I just can't do this." But yet you stayed with it. You stuck with it. You disciplined yourself to the point where you continued every day to go out there. And then before long, you know, it wasn't a quarter of a mile. You made that half a mile, and you felt good about that. And then before long, you were up to a mile, and then some of you up to 3 miles, and you can run that 5K. And then some of you have even worked to go out and run those marathons or half marathons. But you didn't start that way. It took you time. It took you discipline to get there. When it comes down to your spiritual walk, I want to encourage you to take the time, make the discipline necessary in your life that you can walk with the Lord, that you talk with the Lord, that you grow in His grace, that you grow in His strength. And just like the weightlifter who started off and could barely bench press the weight of the bar itself, who later on is bench pressing several hundred pounds, yeah, he's learned to do that. I've always used this expression. I've always said, if you're going to be strong, you got to pick up something heavy. It's the same way with godliness. It is the same way as you train yourself and exercise yourself toward godliness. If you're going to be strong, you got to pick up something heavy. If you want to be a spiritual heavyweight, if you want to be walking with God and hearing from God so loudly and walking with Him so closely, then it is going to take the discipline on your behalf to be in His Word daily, to pray without ceasing, to glean from others that are spiritual, you know, to be together, to learn from one another the ways of godliness. Remember, that is a command to obey. There's something that you can look at Train yourself. As Paul is admonishing young Timothy to do this, he is admonishing us as well. Train yourself, verse 7, to exercise yourself toward godliness. And when we think about it, what kind of things are involved in training for godliness? We mentioned them a moment ago. I've mentioned them several times through this Bible study. Getting in the Word of God, not just superficially reading it, but study it. You know, pray, say, Lord, show me something out of your Word today. Because you know what? It's not just good enough to get it here in your head. The Word's got to touch your heart. And when the Word touches your heart, then we apply it to our lives. And that is what makes the difference. Folks, it takes discipline to do that. I can still, you know, remember times when, you know, people had talked about, well, I've had a son and he was just completely undisciplined. He went into the military and he came back a completely different human being. Why? Because he was taught to be disciplined. And the Word of God is going to teach us that we are to be disciplined under the guise of our Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, why is personal spiritual discipline necessary for this? Because if you're ever going to survive through this life, if you are going to withstand the wiles of the devil, you are going to have to be a person who is spiritually disciplined. Now, Paul goes on in verse 8, and he talks about ways of training for godliness. And he says that this is much more valuable than bodily exercise. I love this. Look at verse 8. And he says, for bodily exercise profits a little. Now, don't get me wrong. You know, I'm sure that if you're like me, your doctor has said, you need to do a little bit more exercise and you need to lose a little bit more weight. Now, Paul is saying, you know, there is value to bodily physical exercise. It is. There's some value to it, but it's a little value in the grand scheme of things. Go back to verse 8 again. Verse 8, it says, it says, for bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. So he's saying, you know what? Spiritual exercise profits much more than even bodily exercise. So he's not necessarily saying, why are you wasting all this time with bodily exercise? But he says, look, if you're spending more time with bodily exercise than you are in spiritual exercise, you need to flip the script on that. You need to do that the other way around. You need to be spending more time with spiritual exercise than you are with bodily exercise. And somebody asked me a question about this at one point many years ago, and they said, well, why should I do why? Yeah, tell me one reason why I should do that. And I said, well, here, let me give you one good reason. I said, this old body right here is going to pass away, and I'm going to get a new one. So I know I'm going to get a newer, fresher, cleaner model. That's what it should be, but I can't go back and redo the things as far as the godliness or the spiritual exercise that I missed out while I was living my life on this earth. I can't get that back, but I'm going to be getting me a new body. So that's one good way to think about it. That's one thing that should encourage us along the way as well. Now, when we think about this, how can we train or how can our training for godliness help us to overcome the deceitful spirits and the false teachers of the latter times that are mentioned in verse 1? Well, the biggest thing is that when you see deceitful spirits and you begin to hear those false teachers of the latter times, the Holy Spirit is going to bring it to your attention immediately. You have studied the Word, and when you hear something that is contrary to what the Word of God says, you're going to know it immediately. You're going to sit back and say, well, wait a minute, that's not what the Bible says. That's not what the Bible teaches about this. The Bible actually teaches, and then you will know what the true teaching is. So remember what I said, how is it that training for godliness can help us to overcome those deceitful spirits and false teachers in the latter times? It will point it out. When a false teacher says something that's against the will of God, it will be like sirens going off, and you will know it immediately. Why? Because you've been in the Word of God. Why is it that today people are being led astray as they are? Here's the answer to that question. Because they don't know the Word of God well enough to know when a false teaching comes about. Yeah, I've had conversations with people like that before, and they say, well, how come you're saying that's a false teaching? And I'm like, because the Word of God right here says, thou shalt not do this. And then they want to try to find some way to justify what they want to believe. Folks, let me tell you, Satan is going to give you everything that you want to lead you down a path of destruction. He is a false teacher. He is a liar. There are going to be deceitful spirits in and around everything that you do. That's that spiritual warfare we're talking about. And being trained for godliness can help us. It is the only thing that can help us overcome the deceitful spirits and the false teachers of the time that is mentioned in the Word as the latter day. Okay, so yeah, let me ask you this: as you've been joining us for Bible studies, virtually on Wednesday evening, how is this Bible study helping you to train for godliness? Yeah, that answer could be different for a whole lot of people. Is this Bible study something that you're just doing as a pastime? Is this something that you're getting into the Word of God? Is this something that you're taking and actually studying those five different chapters that we're going through each week? Are you taking the time to do that and to sit and to say, Lord, speak to me today through your Word. Lord, show me something I've never gleaned from your Word today. And Lord, not just through my, don't let me just get it in my head. Let it trickle down into my heart, because when it trickles down into my heart, then it changes me forever. You know, are you doing that? Is this Bible study helping you to do that? You know, it is so important to equip the saints to be spiritual leaders. Now, if you're a believer and you are joining us for the Bible study this evening, you need to understand something. You need to understand that God has given us preachers the responsibility to equip the saints to be spiritual leaders. That's my job. My job is to teach you how to be a spiritual leader, and that others may come to know our Lord, and that not only that, that the saints may multiply, not just addition, but that the saints might multiply. And when we talk about saints, you know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about those who are believers, okay? God is calling each and every believer to be a spiritual leader in their sphere of influence, in their families, in their neighborhoods. And for a lot of you, you just said, oh man, that's not me. I'm not an upfront kind of person. Listen, that is what He commands of us. So it's important for Christians to continually multiply. How do they multiply? Let me tell you, you want to see a church do something incredible? It's when the members of that church go out and multiply themselves, go out and multiply the saints, not just through evangelism, not just in leading people to Jesus, but in training them in how to serve Him, to help them to spiritually mature along the way. You see, I believe that's one of the biggest things that's missing in our churches today, is the discipleship. You know, we'll evangelize people, we'll bring them into the church, and we'll slap them on the back, and we'll say, hallelujah, brother. But we haven't done anything to get them past that initial phase of experience and maturity. We haven't taught them that, and that is critical. That is the other side of discipleship. It's not just teaching them what Christ did on Calvary's cross, that they may give their life to Him and follow Him, but it's also teaching them how to follow Him. That's what hopefully you are joining us tonight to do, to glean more so that you can follow Him better, that you might make a difference in the hearts and lives of the people that you come in contact with. You know, when you think about that, would you like someday to be a small group leader or teach a Sunday school class someday? You know, some of you just said, I don't know about that because I'm just not that upfront type person. Well, maybe that's not you. Maybe that's not what God's called you to do. But He's called all of us to be one-on-one with the people in our sphere of influence. How can we be a great example to them, that we might point them to Jesus, that we might multiply believers in such a fashion? See, Jesus is not just concerned with addition, spiritual addition. He is concerned with spiritual multiplication. And when God's people do God's business, God's way, we can see that. Let me ask you today, what are you doing to be a part of, first of all, making saints or perfecting saints? Or should I say making and perfecting saints, because they go together. You know what? What we need to do is we need to pray for one another that we have a strong spiritual discipline and train ourselves for the purposes of godliness. Like I said, I know some people that would not miss a day in the gym if their life depended on it, because they're that dedicated and that sold out. Would to God that we be that sold out to following our Lord and Savior and being spiritually disciplined and spiritually trained that we might make a difference in the hearts and the lives of other people. Before we dismiss in prayer, I want to go ahead and give you our Bible readings for this week. This week, we're actually going to be looking at 1 Timothy chapter 6 through 2 Timothy chapter 4. That's only five passages. Remember I said, if you're just joining us for our Bible study, we just ask you to read one chapter a day. Don't read ahead. Don't try to read it all at one time. Read one chapter a day. Let the Lord speak to you. This week, you can start today. We're reading 1 Timothy chapter 6 through 2 Timothy chapter 4. Now, next week, we're going to take a look at the passages that come out of 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. And the title is The Difficulty of the Last Days. Remember, we were talking about that falling away in the times, as the Word tells us, in the latter times. So we're going to look at the difficulty of the last days out of 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 17, next Wednesday evening. Now, just as a reminder, don't forget, we have our last Operation Christmas Child in-gathering this Sunday during the morning service. That's just when you bring your box down to present at the altar to say a prayer for that child that you have created that box for. We encourage everyone to participate. Listen, don't let this moment get by. If you're part of our viewing audience and you're in the Oak Ridge area, you don't have a box, we actually have the boxes that you can come and pack. You can fill out the information and you can track that box to actually where it will go and even to the child that may receive it. So don't forget, this coming Sunday is our final end gathering at Central Baptist Church. We're also a regional drop-off. So if you can volunteer some time, that means that people from our region will be bringing their boxes by to our church so that we can get them in the pipeline to get them moved on to be shipped overseas. So Miss Beverly has some times and dates for that. We're just going to encourage you, if the Lord leads you to be a part of that, give us a call at the church office. Office number is 336-643-7684. Once again, that's 336-643-7684, and we'll get you in contact with Miss Beverly, or you can email us. Our website is listed on the screen here. It's www.oakridgecbc.org. We'd love to have you participate with us. Also, on Sundays, we have our adult and children's Sunday schools at 9:45 a.m. Our elementary kids meet over in the elementary wing that is adjoined to the narthex of our sanctuary. Our adults are meeting over here in the second story of our educational building. Those are at 9:45. Our youth Sunday school, which is middle school and youth, meets at 10 a.m. in the youth room, and our worship services are at 10:45 each Sunday. We would love to have you with us. So if you don't have a church home, come be a part of our Central family. Listen, if you're part of the Central family and you hadn't had that chance to get back out lately, we would love to have you come back and fellowship with us as we praise the Lord on Sunday mornings once again. All right, folks, let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, as we come to you now, we thank you so much for the fact that you have called us. You want to use us. You have saved us, and you want us to be spiritually disciplined so that we can exercise those talents and abilities that you've given us, that we might be true disciples, that we might create true disciples and followers of yours. Lord, help us to redeem the time, because we do feel like we're in the latter days. May we be all that you want us to be. May we be each and everything that you anticipate for us, that when we look in your face, you will have the opportunity to say to us, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Lord, we pray that you will bless us as a church. Lord, bring us back again. Help us, Lord, in the struggles that we have to serve you in a way that is pleasing in your sight. As Father, we lift this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, folks. We look forward to seeing you Sunday morning.